tonight. We really do appreciate you coming our way, visiting with us tonight. Thank you for being here. Our chapter that we're going to read tonight is Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. So if you want to read, or if you'd like to read tonight, you're sure welcome to do so. So Exodus 14 will be our passage or our chapter. Then we'll be preaching out of Hebrews and be coming back here to Exodus as well. So you can line up. All right? Amen. So let's do 8 verses apiece. Brother Keith, you can start us out. Exodus chapter 14.
Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Phileroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand.
Thank you, my brother.
But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Phileroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.
Thank you, brother.
And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon its chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watched the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians.
And took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Hebrews chapter 11 here tonight. We'll be in verse 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. It says, By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God here in Exodus chapter 14. And Father, the story, Lord, that was a miracle that God had performed. And so, Lord, we pray tonight, God, that you'd help us to see the faith. Lord, the Bible says, by faith that they passed, Lord, on the Red Sea ground. And so, God, may we understand it tonight. May it make it clear. Father, bring it to our attention. Make it, dear God, where we can apply it to our lives. Father, we didn't come here tonight, Lord, just to come. We come to get the Word of God. We come to sing songs, Lord, that the Spirit of God may move in our hearts and our lives. And, Father, dear God, we desire to be moved and stirred and shaken. Lord, we're asking tonight, God, that the Holy Ghost of God would have His work, dear God, in our lives. Father, we need help tonight, God, in the way we live. We need help in the way we think and what we do and where we go. And Father, the things that you had asked us to do, dear God, we can't do them without your help. Well, we can't accomplish, dear God, the roles and, God, the hats that you allow us to wear. Father, in our homes, at work, at church, and in other places, Lord, we need you. And so tonight, God, we're begging for your presence and begging for your help. God, lead and guide us tonight. Fill us with your Spirit. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I titled the message tonight, Walking Under the Water. And so we know of the story about walking on the water. We notice that Peter done that for just a little bit until he lost faith and he started sinking. But I notice here that this ground in which the children of Israel walked on at one time had water on it. And here they're walking on that ground, that water stood. And so we just called it the walking under the water. But in order to walk under the water, there's going to have to be faith. And so tonight we're talking about, and with the help of the Lord, trying to preach a message about what does faith look like. And so we've preached many messages so far in this chapter about the same theme, the same thought. What does faith look like? There's many people out there that's just looking for what does faith really look like. There's so many people who say they're saved, but they walk away. There's some people who say that they're saved, but they walk a different way. There's confusion out there. Who's saved? Who's not? Who's living by faith? Who's living by sight? Who really knows the Lord? Who really is the Christian that the Bible teaches of? And it all boils down to this faith
right here in Hebrews chapter 11. In that verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and of evidence of things not seen. That's the faith we're talking about tonight. That's the godly faith. That's the faith that will bring you into heaven. That's the faith that will keep you walking with God. That's the faith that you'll see that you'll please God with tonight. This is the faith. It's all about faith tonight. And so we pray that as Christians tonight, that we will be found faithful because of the faith that God has given to us. And so in that tonight, we have studied so far people, it seems like, different folks that we have went back through the Word of God, starting in Genesis. And now we come to a place in verse 29 where he talks about they. They. Who are they? Well, we just got through reading Exodus 14, so we know they are the children of Israel. And so the Bible's saying here in this verse 29, it says, by faith, the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea. Now, that's almost ironic, don't you think? We're talking about the faith of the children of Israel. Now, we can read Scripture tonight, and there's hundreds of passages, and there's thousands of passages tonight that will describe how unfaithful Israel was. It describes how they committed spiritual adultery and adultery with God. I mean, it's just chapter after chapter, verse after verse, story after story of how Israel was unfaithful to God, how Israel didn't keep his commandments, how Israel went against his precepts, how Israel didn't at all do what God asked him to do. Matter of fact, a whole generation died in the wilderness. We find that there's other passages that tell us that Israel, the children of Israel, have just been stiff-necked and they become unbelievers. They departed from God. And so now we come to a passage that says that by faith they. Do you not see the contrast? Do you not see the ironic thought here of how that we can particularly pick out some people who were of the children of Israel and they demonstrated the faith. But now God, in his word tonight, is going to show us that even the children of Israel demonstrated this faith by passing through on the Red Sea. And this is going to be important because there's a point in here that I want you to really get, and it's my last point. So you got to go through my first 2 points to get to the last point. But I won't make it so difficult for us here tonight. Amen? But I want you to notice, number one, concerning this faith out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, I want you to notice, and I called it the conquering of faith. The conquering of faith. Either you will be conquered or you will conquer. And so we that have the faith of the Lord, we that have been saved by grace through faith, we that have been born again by the blood of the Lamb tonight have taken the faith, because by the hearing of the Word of God, we have received faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me in Galatians 2:20. So not only are we given this faith, then we live by this faith, but this faith that we live on is the faith of Christ, and that's what faith is going to get us into heaven, amen? And so this is important for us. This is essential to us. And so either you're conquered by not having faith, like the Egyptians were. They all died in the water. They all were taken up in the water. They didn't have faith in God, and that's the result of not having faith. Is that you're conquered, you're destroyed, you die, you experience the second death. You find yourself under destruction, you find yourself under the wrath of God. And so you don't want to leave out of here tonight without faith in Christ, amen? And so we find that this conquering faith demonstrates itself in so many different ways. I want you to see it. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. Since we've read it, all of us have now memorized it, and we all know the story, and so we can give great details of it, and we all know it. We can say, oh yeah, I just read that, I remember that, right? Is that how we do it? We have to read it again, right? Read it over and over and over, then we say, okay, well, I get just some of it. Then we read it and read it and read it, and we get a little bit more. If you're anything like me, I just can't just read something and I know all about it. I have to read it again and then again, and then somebody needs to explain to me and, you know, just go through there. But I notice that the conquering of the faith there in the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 says, pass through the Red Sea as the dry land. That took faith to do that. It took faith for the children of Israel to pass through that land, pass through the Red Sea on that land. And in doing that, it's going to take a conquering faith. Because they were in a place, matter of fact, they were in a helpless state. Look here in chapter 14, verse 5. The Bible says, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, we have done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us. And so now we have Pharaoh, and now we have the heart of Pharaoh, which was the wickedest part of Pharaoh. And then we find that the people are now turned against Israel. That is a serious situation. It is a very desperate time for the children of Israel to not only have the Pharaoh against them, but the very heart of Pharaoh against them. That means there's passion. That means there's zeal. That means that there's going to be determination. That means that there's no quit. That means that the heart of Pharaoh has come against Israel. And man, it's not going to end well for Israel. And so then we find the people on board. We find the people having the same passion, the same burning, the same hatred, the same desire that we're just going to get rid of this people, get rid of these ones. And so the Bible says in that verse 6, and he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Now in verse 7, it kind of gives us an idea of the buildup of his army, or the buildup of those who are coming. And boy, I really want to make a point here. They're coming to Israel not half-heartedly. They're not coming after Israel doubtedly. They're coming after Israel red hot. I mean, they're coming to not make friends. They're not coming to just kind of pat them on the back or try to maybe bring a rebuke to them, or maybe try to tell them a little different way that they are to live. They're coming to remove them. They're coming to take them out. They're coming to destroy. And so we find that not only do we have the heart involved, we have the people involved, but now we have the chariots involved. And the Bible says there's 600 chosen chariots. That could be a lot of chariots, I would think. Amen? I mean, I have never seen one chariot, much less 600 of them, but I can just imagine of the sounds of those chariots. I can just imagine the dust that's kicking up. I can just imagine the horses that are pulling these chariots, and man, they're just running, and they're coming at you. And so we find the scene being very intimidating, and all the chariots of Egypt. And so now we find all that they have. I mean, not just 600, but all they have. I mean, Pharaoh saying, listen, we hate Israel so bad, we want to remove Israel so bad, that we're going to take every single asset that we have and we're going to take them out. And so we're not talking about some just little kind of conflict. We're talking about a real battle that's going to be bloody. It's going to be deadly. The Bible says, then the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, overtook them in camping by the sea. And then we find there in that verse 10, it says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So not only did they are coming, and are they rolling, and are they getting there, they got there, and they were marching. And I could just hear all the steps. I can just hear all the cadences. I could just hear of the very mind and the very heart of these Egyptians who are just so angry and so bitter and so hateful that we're going to tear, we're going to get rid of, we're going to remove, and we don't care anybody will survive. And so we find that there is a helpless state. The enemy to Israel is greater. The very enemy to Israel is stronger. And the very enemy to Israel is mightier. Now, let me ask you something tonight. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where it's a helpless state? It just seems like that everything's bigger and badder and mightier and tougher and stronger. It just seems like that this fight, this battle, this conflict, this war, that I'm the least in it. I'm the weakest of it. I'm just kind of like, man, I'm just going to get tore up. I can't win this fight. I can't win this battle. I say to you, in my lifetime of all these years, I say all these years, 59 years, that there have been some times and certain times, and I felt like I was in a helpless situation. I was in a helpless state. I didn't think that my strength or my wit or my wisdom or any of my abilities or even tools or maybe weapons that we might have could really defend or really do anything against the enemy that was attacking. And so we find tonight they're in that helpless state. I noticed number two, though, that not only were they in a helpless state, but I see that they're in a hopeless situation. Now here's the hopeless situation. Is as they're at the sea, before them, the marching army of Egypt was behind them. Now, that brought a hopeless situation. I mean, they couldn't go across the sea. I mean, the sea was too deep. I mean, they got those naysayers. They got those unbelievers. They got those lost people who say the Red Sea was like only 6 inches or 3 inches or something like that. And so that's how they got across. Have y'all read that, any of that kind of stuff before? Yeah, they're dumb as they look. And so we find tonight that Red Sea that was before them was deeper than they could go in. Remember now, the marching's going on. The 600 and all chariots are coming. The hatred, the heart, the mind, the strategy, the very heart. And the movement of Egypt was to remove Israel. So this is behind them. But what's in front of them is a sea that's so deep they can't get in it. It's a sea that's so wide that they can't just jump it. It's a sea that's moving and flowing swiftly that they would get swept away. We find that they're in a hopeless situation. So what in the world are we going to do? I mean, I don't know if you found yourself in that kind of place at one time. It was helpless and it was hopeless. It just seemed that in front of you, there was just no future. In front of you, there was just no way out. I mean, there was no happiness, no joy. There didn't seem like there was anything that was before you that was interesting or that was something that you could grab onto and something you could hold on to. But then behind you, your past was pushing. Your past was just saying, your past was just being critical. Your past was just being cruel. And so now you're in this hopeless situation. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. You can't go to the left. You can't go to the right. And you're right in the middle. And so we find tonight that the children of Israel were in a helpless state, but they were in a hopeless situation. But then thirdly, I want you to notice they were in a heartless strength. You know, it's one thing tonight when the physical attributes, I guess you could say, or the physical realities is against you. And really, you can't go forward, you can't go backwards, and because physically you're just unable. And maybe even spiritually tonight that you seem to be in a corner, or it seems like you're in a hole, or it seems like you're in a place where you can't move and you can't maneuver, and boy, you're getting nervous now, and you're saying, boy, I don't know what to do, and all that. And so we find tonight that these people were in a place where their heart, they were sore afraid. I'm not talking about just being scared. I'm not talking about just being kind of, man, I feel uncomfortable. No, sore afraid. Well, just a fleshly or a human passion, right? I mean, how would you felt? Here comes this hungry army wanting to chew you up. And here you want to go across this Red Sea because that's the only thing that's before you, but you know you're going to drown. You know you can't get across. You got your children. You got your wife. You got your husband. You got grandma and grandpa, and you got uncles and aunts, and you got a whole slew of family, and you know that we just can't make it over there. So afraid. So we find a heartless strength. They were so afraid in verse 10. The Bible says, and they were so afraid. I noticed the second thing that they had a heartless strength was, and it seems like the tendency of every time we get in a place where there's pressure behind us and there's just no place to go before us, we begin to murmur. And so that's what they did there in verse 11. But see, when you begin to murmur and complain, it's heartless. You're not being heartless. You're not being heartful at all. You're not being faithful at all. You're not being Christ-like at all. You're not being godly at all. You're not being scriptural at all. But we find here in this verse 11, it says, "They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore thou hast dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt." They started murmuring. They started complaining. They started being really aggravated and irritated and frustrated, but that gives them no right to start complaining and murmuring and begin to point fingers and begin to say, "You're the reason why we're here. If we should have just stayed in Egypt, we'd have at least had graves there. Here we're going to have no graves. We're all going to just die here on this before the sea, the Red Sea." And so just complain. Hey, be careful tonight when you get in a pinch. Stop murmuring. Man, listen, when you get in a place where you can't go forward, you can't go backwards, the pressure's on, the enemy's pursuing, it just seems like you're helpless and hopeless, the one thing you don't want to do tonight is complain. God help us tonight. So here they are. They have a heartless strength. They're so afraid. Then they begin to murmur and complain, and then they get ungrateful. And that's just like we are tonight, but we're not thankful for what we do have. Verse 12 says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." I mean, they're just not grateful for what God's already done for them. Not grateful for what God's already brought them to. Grateful for all that God's been to them. And grateful for what God is going to do to them. And so there's just no gratitude for what God has done and what God is doing tonight. And so we find that they have a heartless, they're hopeless, they're helpless tonight. They didn't have the fight. See, they didn't have the fight to fight. And so tonight we're just kind of saying, "Man, where's your fight?" And boy, I see that in many times when people get into hopeless and helpless and heartless situations. I've even asked a few times, "Why aren't you fighting for your wife? Why aren't you fighting for your husband? Why aren't you fighting for your family? Why aren't you fighting for your church? Why aren't you fighting for your job? Why aren't you fighting for your testimony? Why aren't you fighting? Why you give up so easy? Why you let down so much? Why you just throw your hands up? Why you wave the white flag and say, 'I just surrender'? What? Why?" That's what they're doing. Fight. There's no fight in them. Hey, there's no force in them. There's no fortitude in them. I mean, there's no grit. There's no manliness or womanliness in them at all. I mean, listen, friend, they're acting as if tonight they don't know God. They're acting as if God is dead or the God of Israel has done moved down the God of Egypt. We see tonight, heartless, hopeless, helpless. I'm talking about the conquering of faith. I'll tell you, they didn't have no faith. They didn't have no fight. They didn't have no force or fortitude, but they had faith. So how do you put all that together? I don't know. How do you do that? How do you do it? How do you do it tonight? Every day of your life, you're in a battle. Every hour of your day, you're in a war. The spiritual war tonight does not end when you get up or when you go to bed. It continues all the time. And you're hopeless and you're helpless, and the many times we become heartless. Oh, but tonight, the only way that you're going to be able to conquer is through faith. A conquering faith. Now, let me show you what this faith did here now. I want you to notice not only is there a conquering faith, but there's a courage of faith. The courage of faith. This faith will bring forth a courage. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Now here's the courage. And this is just like God. And boy, this is just like sometimes, no, the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Right? So you always should get multiple counsel. Don't just get counsel from one. If you're getting counsel from one, you're getting counsel from the wrong one. Never get counsel for just one. Always get counsel for more than one. All right? There's safety, and that's Bible, that's Scripture. Amen? The Bible says Jesus is our counselor. That's one. Then you find somebody else to talk to. That's two. Three would be even better. The Bible says two or three establishes a matter. So biblically tonight, we have to come to the place and find out what in this world is the Bible talking about here. And so here's what the Lord says to these people, of the children of Israel. He says, now, what I want you to do is I don't want you to be afraid in a frightening place. Sure. The Egyptians are coming to eat me up. Right? The sea in front of me is not getting smaller, it's not getting shallower, and it's not slowing down. You say, fear not. It's easy for you to say, right? I mean, it's easy for everybody else to say, don't we hear that all the time? Don't be afraid. You're not in my situation. How do you know that I'm not to be afraid? Here's where faith kicks in. In the flesh, you'll say, boy, I'm scared to death. And it's scared, and you are scared to death in the flesh. That's just human emotion tonight. Don't beat yourself up over that. But at the same time, as a Christian, we have this faith of God, who says, listen, in the midst of this frightening place, be not afraid. In the midst of the COVID virus, be not afraid. In the midst of this world in which we live, be not afraid. Fleshly, emotionally, we're going to find fear. But our fear has to be overcome by our faith. And that's why Christians tonight, it's not that they're afraid or not afraid, it's that their faith supersedes, overcomes, conquers the fear. Right? God don't give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, sound mind. Amen? And so tonight we find that the army's behind us, the water's before us, but God says, fear not. I'm talking about courage. And only the faith of God can bring this courage to you. Every single person in this world who knows not God is scared to death today. But they cannot get out of the fear. And because of the fear of the government and the fear of the CDC and the fear of the commercial and the fear of the media and the fear of the church and the fear of the devil and the fear and the fear and the fear and the fear, the only people tonight that can function, the only people tonight that can be like doing what they need to be doing and living a life that there's some challenge to it yet, but there is some blessing in it, is those who have the faith of God. In the midst of that hopeless, helpless, heartless situation, faith will bring us to a place where we don't fear. Amen? And so tonight, the courage of faith is be not afraid. Number two, the courage of faith is to be still. Look what it says there in verse 13. Stand still. Let me ask you something tonight. Here come 600 chariots and all the chariots of Egypt. I mean, we got captains, we got sergeants, we got the regular old army platoons. We've got the people coming. We got people going. We got horses a chunking. We got things that are rolling. We got smoke that's coming up. Friend, we about to see ourselves to death. And the Bible says, the Lord says, just stand still. I mean, what do we want to do? Run, right? I mean, we got to get human tonight.
No, not me, brother. I'm a spiritual giant. Man, when things get hopeless and helpless and heartless in my world, I'm like Superman. Everybody can get on my shoulders. I bear the burden for everybody in all the world. Joke.
That ain't going to happen. So that's getting real. He says, stand still. Stand still. Now tonight, you're going to want to run. Most people who, when they get in trouble or they get in difficulty, guess what they do? They get in a little car, get in a little mindset, and they run around down to the store, go to Dairy Queen, get ice cream, you know, run around over there, maybe to Sonic and get some tater tots with cheese and they're saying, we're just trying to blow off steam. I'm trying to just get my mind settled. I'm trying to just cool down. No, you're not. You're just weak. You're just a coward. That's what you are. You know, you're there, you go in your room and you shut the door in the room, and you go in the room, you don't shut the door like just easy shut it. You shut it real hard. And they say, are you mad? Oh no, I go around shutting the door hard like that all the time. Another lie. Right? So you shut the door, and if it has a lock on it, you lock it. Is there a reason why you're locking the door? Oh no, Turn the light out, sit over in the corner in the rocking chair, or get into bed, put the covers over your head. Why? Why? There's no faith in that. There's no faith whenever you're at work and things get wrong, you just quit and say, I quit. I just don't want to work here no more, and you just take off. I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. I want a divorce. I don't want to be a father no more, mother no more. I think I'm going to quit. I don't want to go to this church anymore. Oh, I don't think I like you anymore, Pastor. These people right here, you know, this, that, and the other. So we're just going to find us a new church so we can pack up and go on. Friend, that's not at all what faith is. He said, stand still. When it's tough, when it's hard, when it's difficult, when it's very challenging, and man, when it even can create some suffering and some pain, he says, stand still. I'm talking about faith tonight, the faith of God that brings courage. So he says, stand still. Remember now, the army is pressing and the water is just staying. The third thing I notice he says to do in the way of courage is to watch in a dying path. Verse 13, he said, see the salvation of the Lord. So in other words, he says to you and I, he says to them at that time, he says, I want you to do a few things so far. In other words, I don't want you to be afraid, and I want you to stand still, and then I want you to just wait and watch. Just want you to open your eyes and see. Well, you can't see if you leave. You can't see if you shut your eyes. You can't see if you cover your face. You have to see with your eyes wide open. You have to see by being aware and being alert of what's going on, what's happening around you. Amen? And so we find tonight the Lord saying that I want you to wait and watch. And even though you're thinking this is a dying path, this is not going to turn out well, they're still pursuing, the water's still there, and all you're telling me is to just not be afraid and to stand still and to watch. Watch me die. Watch my family die. Watch the destruction. Watch the heartache. Watch the suffering. Watch the pain. Is that what you want me to do? Courage. Courage of faith. Can I say here fourthly, what he wants him to do, he says there in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Be quiet. He wants you to be quiet in the horrible plight you're in. Stop talking. Stop explaining. Stop giving examples. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop trying to get somebody on your side. Stop trying to find a judge and a jury that will sentence and you come out acquitted. Be quiet. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. I know you're in a helpless and a hopeless situation. I know that the army's pursuing, and I know the water's before you. I know that God just said for you to just don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Zip the lip. Huh? I think we fail that almost every time. We're too busy wanting to say something. We're too busy wanting to talk. We're too busy trying to defend ourselves. We're too busy trying to explain ourselves. We're too busy trying to make everybody else around us feel better, to try to be something that we're really not. Just be quiet. I tell you, sometimes being quiet will just solve the problem. How many times you've been in a situation and you kept on talking, and it went from worse to worse to worse? I would say probably 10 out of 10 times. If you'd just shut up about 5 minutes ago, we could have been through with this thing, and we could have went on with a normal life. But no, you've got to be gutter mouth. You got to be loud mouth. You got to scream and yell, and you got to give your part, and you got to tell how you feel, and you got to give all that the Bible calls as a full. We spill all that you have within you. You just somehow, some way, you got to get the last word, and if you get the last word, then you win. And really, you lose. You lose. It reminds me, even playing football or basketball in those two sports, and other things too, but especially those sports, is when you, in basketball, for example, and you're playing basketball and somebody comes by and they do like this in your ribs. Man, it hurts, you know. You say, okay. So the refs don't see that. But I go down to the other end, and when I go around, and I decided that I'm just going to hit this guy in that leg right here in that thigh where it really hurts. Referee's doing this. Foul on you! Man, you just see what the guy did with me down here. It's always the last guy. Y'all notice that? The last guy never wins. Why do we keep on falling for the trap? We always seem like, oh, we're really wise and really sharp, but we keep on going the same direction. You know, I was told one time that's the definition of being just insane. Doing the same thing all the time and getting the same results. So we find the fifth thing that he tells them to do in verse 15. He says to obey in the positive way. Verse 15 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Go forward. And boy, that's what the Lord is speaking of in the faith of courage, or courage of faith tonight. Go forward. Leave the past behind. Go forward. Leave the present as it is. Go forward. Well, how about the enemy? Go forward. How about the helpless and the hopeless situation I'm in? Go forward. But man, you don't know. Go forward. What am I to obey? What am I to do? He said, go forward. Now, where was forward at? Toward the water. Right? Behind them was the enemy. We're not going toward the enemy. Go toward the water. Go toward the water. Go forward. But that water, I mean, there's no way. It's too deep. It's too wide. It's too swift. Go forward. Talking about faith now. Go forward. Step forward. Step, go to it. Go that direction. Move in that position. Go, go, go. And so we find that the Lord is telling them courage to go. At the commandment of Moses, go forward, believing in God. believing in God. And so we find that by faith that the children of Israel, that they went forward. Amen. In verses 19 through 20, we find that God sent an angel. And the angel did his work in the way of let's just read it, verse 19. The angel of God and went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before them and their face and stood behind them. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all night. So God, again, through his angel, said, okay, I will solve this issue, this problem I have here. So God took care of that. We find that God divided the sea. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Who did that? The Lord did that. All through the Scripture and Psalms, you'll find that the Lord did that. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. Moses didn't do that. The people didn't do that. Pharaoh didn't do that. The devil didn't do that. The false gods didn't do that. The Lord did that. The Lord divided the sea. The Lord did it with an east wind. The Lord took that water and took it off as dry land, because that's what it says there in Hebrews, dry land. And so he took it off. It became dry. There was the pillars of water there. If it was 10 feet, 100 feet, 1,000 feet, who cares? It don't matter. But it was what God said happened, and that's exactly what happened. And so they moved forward, right? They moved forward, and God sent an angel, took care of the protection through that night. And they went forward, and God opened up the sea, and they walked on that ground, that sea. In verse 22, the Bible says, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Now, that's a weird way of saying that tonight. Do you see that? Let's read it again. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. In other words, is it saying that the people of Israel were actually in the water? They were in the water. So it wasn't like they were before the water, then Moses did his thing and God did his thing, and it opened up and they said, okay, now we can go. That wouldn't take too much faith to do that, would it? It wouldn't take much faith if God opened that up and they walked in there, right? But it took a lot of faith when that water was deep and wide and swiftly flowing, that they walked in the water. And when they walked in the water, then the Bible says he made it dry. Woo! I'm talking about courage of faith. And they didn't have the fight. They didn't have the force, but they had the faith. Amen? The faith that gives courage to trust in God in the midst of the hopeless and helpless and the heartless circumstances, the children of Israel, they lived. And the people who were chasing them, the Egyptians, they died. You know what the difference was? Israel had faith. Egyptians didn't. You know what the difference is today? You going to heaven or hell? Faith. You know what the difference is today that you live for God? Faith. You know, the difference today is that all this hopeless and helpless situations that will take us will overcome you and defeat you and take you to a place where you'll be depressed and you will be suppressed and you'll find yourself on alcohol and drugs and prescription drugs and to happen to go to the doctor, psychologist, counselors, and you'll find yourself all eat up with all of that is whenever you find that you don't have faith. Israel believed, the Egyptians didn't believe. Here, let me say thirdly. Not only do I notice tonight the conquering of faith, the courage of faith, but lastly, the coverage of faith. The coverage of faith. Israel, in verse 31, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Now, the question tonight about this coverage, the point I'm trying to make is not all of Israel believed in God. Now we have scripture to prove that. Hebrews chapter 3, turn with me quickly. I know time is fleeing, but I want to get this in. Hebrews chapter 3, and look there in verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the day and the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Talking about the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible's talking about the children of Israel once again. And it says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters as they were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them did also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And we got all kinds of scripture everywhere. Can I just say this tonight? Every single one of those Israelis came across. But not every one of those Israelites believed God. Very few. The Bible talks about a remnant. Right? A remnant. In Romans chapter 9, he talks about that remnant. I'll read it to you real quick. Chapter 9, verse 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So I just want to say this. Then that group of the children of Israel of that day in Exodus 14, there was a remnant that believed God. But because of the remnant that believed God, the whole group came across. The coverage of faith. The coverage of faith. And let me say it like this too as well. Is they experienced the blessings of God, even though they didn't believe in God. But they were amongst a group that did believe in God. They not only experienced the blessings of God, but they received the protection of God. They didn't believe in God, but those that were around them believed in God, and God protected them all. Hey, listen, they enjoyed the power of God. They saw what God did, even though they didn't believe in God. But there was those that within them that did believe, and they got to see the power of God. Hey, this same thing happens in our church. Not everybody in church believes in God. Not everybody who goes to church is saved. Not everybody who's in church today is born again. But God blesses the church, and God meets the needs of the church. And God has done some remarkable things with the church because of those that do believe and those that are Christian. And the others who are not, they're just getting in on it. Right? Now, this works the same way in our home. If there's a mama or daddy or even a child or a young child or maybe a teenager or a young adult who's still at home and they love God. They serve Jesus. Well, that whole family is going to be covered like an umbrella. And God's going to bless that home or bless that individual. He's going to protect that individual. He'll provide that individual. And everybody else in the home gets the crumbs of that. They kind of get to enjoy the blessings and the love of God because God's going to take care of that one and those around them with God. It happens like that in church. It happens like that in businesses. When a Christian goes and works at a business, God will bless that business because he's going to bless that guy. He's going to do some things in that business. If that guy wasn't there, he wouldn't have done. But he's going to do everything he can to bless, to meet his need. He's going to take care of his own. He's going to provide for his own. And in the midst of all that, this business gets to share in coverage of this man's faith. Right? It happens in nations. And the people who are saved in the nation, people who are saved in America, God's going to bless America. Not because America is wicked, but because in America they are saved. And those people who are saved in America will be protected, will be provided for. They'll see the blessings of God. And just so happen the nation will get in on that as well. So let me say this in closing. If there's somebody in your home tonight that loves God and you're not saved, you better stay in that home. If there's somebody in your house, mom and daddy, or somebody who's walking with God, loves Jesus, serving the Lord, and you're not saved, you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've never repented of your sin and by faith received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that, you've never become a new creature, you've never been changed, your best bet is to stick real close to that one. Don't leave that home. Because as soon as you leave that home, you leave that umbrella. You leave that coverage. Can I say this tonight? If you're in a church and there's somebody in that church that loves God and that boy wants to serve the Lord, who wants to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's upright and outstanding, and they just do all they can to live for Jesus, guess what you need to do? You need to get next to them. Don't leave that church, because God's going to bless that individual and you can get in on it. As soon as you leave out of here, go somewhere else. You might find another place that they don't love Jesus. They preach another doctrine. They have another God. They have a false Jesus. You're going to lose what you had in here. You're going to be gone. Can I say this tonight? That if there's somebody in this nation, in our country, that loves Jesus, who walks with God, I'd get close to them. I wouldn't let them go. I'd be friends to them. Because, friend, what God's going to do in their lives, it could just come off on you as well. But once you leave all these places like Israel, like church and home, business and nation, and when you get on your own as a lost person, you're done. You're just like Egyptians. You're drowning. And ultimately, you're going to be destroyed. God help us today to be able to walk underneath the water, the faith that God gives us tonight, the courage of faith, the very conquering of faith, and then the very covering of faith. May the Lord bless you tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Israel found that every believer was freed, or every unbeliever was freed and protected by God, because those few who had faith in Him to move forward and pass on that dry ground, and they went right with them. They experienced that. Churches and families and businesses and nations have that same people in them with that same faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you tonight. Bless your holy name. Let's come pray. And let's pray for our church tonight. I pray that the Lord will meet the needs of our church financially, physically, spiritually, that the Lord would